Well, in the lead up to the by-election in Douglas East, that's on Thursday the 12th of November, we are talking to the candidates. We've done it as fairly as possible. The old method of alphabetical order has been employed. And I'm joined this morning by our third candidate, Richard Faulk. Richard, I'm going to, first of all, just mention one of the issues I think it's pretty central, isn't it, to Douglas East, and that is the issue of the promenade and the horse trams. You're opposed to the current scheme.
I think it's a very grandiose scheme. I think it might have worked back in the days when our finances were in good order, but at the moment we certainly don't have £21 million to splash around on such a large-scale scheme. I think what we ought to be doing is the minimum possible. Let's spend a few million, keep the road in serviceable condition for the next few years, but let's not go over the top with this.
So how much, you say a few million, how much would you spend?
I would spend whatever is necessary to keep the road passable. It's an important artery through Douglas.
It is a mess, isn't it?
It is an absolute mess. It certainly needs resurfacing work. There's no question about that. What I think we don't need to do is spend £4 million on relocating the horse tram tracks to a less suitable location.
You're an advertising copywriter and author.
That's right.
Can you give me your background in politics?
I was briefly a councillor in the United Kingdom. I was also involved in training prospective MPs in communication techniques.
And that was the Conservative
Party?
That was. So is that where your political leanings are?
My political leanings are certainly right of centre. My main interest is in economic and fiscal issues. I think a government must balance its books. And long term, you have to live within your means.
Your slogan, if you like, is no more business as usual.
Absolutely. I think if we continue to do things the way we've always done them, we're going to end up in very serious trouble. We haven't really fully adjusted to the loss of £200 million of annual revenue through the renegotiation of the customs and excise agreement. And we are looking at some of our liabilities growing very rapidly now. For example, the government's own pension scheme liability is now at £3 billion. That is a colossal black hole. If we don't do something about it, that could swallow the entire island.
How would you go about doing something about it?
We need to get civil service numbers down. The first step is obviously natural wastage. If people leave, we don't replace
them. Which is happening anyway.
It is, but I think we need to be very careful about that. We need to accelerate the process. We need to make sure that every new hiring is fully justifiable.
Of course, a lot of money has been spent with people taking voluntary redundancy.
Well, this is the problem. It's very easy with certain public sector jobs to leave early and take a very large lump sum. And we need to be looking at those sorts of terms of employment because they simply may not be sustainable for future generations.
You say in the letter, £497 million you estimate the debt for the island at the moment.
No, that's not for the island. That is the debt for Manx Utilities.
Plus the pension liability.
The pension liability is not a debt per se. It is a liability. It is the total liability for all the government staff at the time of writing.
Let's deal with the utilities. And you say that more needs to be done there to pay off the current deficit of 497. How would you go about that? Where is that money going to come from?
That is the issue. We don't have it. The only place it can possibly come from, I'm sorry to say, is consumers. We should never have got into that situation in the first place. Had the Manx Electricity Authority been a private company, it would never have run up those kinds of debts, and there certainly wouldn't have been a breakdown in the chain of command that allowed £120 million to be borrowed without due diligence and without proper authorisation.
Is government too closely involved with utilities?
No, it was. Given that it was in public ownership, government was too far away. It took its hands off the reins.
How would you go about then? I mean, the customers aren't going to want to see bills rising, are they, all the time? How would you go about freeing that market? Is that something you would look at?
Yes, I would privatise Manx Electricity. I think it's performed very poorly in government hands. The debts, I think, are testament to that. Most of the debts of Manx Utilities are on the electricity side, a very large proportion of them. I would privatise Manx Electricity and I would introduce competition into both the electricity and the gas markets.
Jeremy Corbyn is not your favourite person across the water as a as a Labour leader?
I admire Jeremy Corbyn. I think he's one of the first politicians for many years to say what he actually thinks. He is a man who also practices what he preaches, but I think he could be extremely bad news for the Isle of Man. I don't think he would understand what we're attempting to do. He's certainly somebody who would be on a crusade against so-called tax havens. And most worryingly of all, he is using Richard Murphy as an economic advisor.
We know Richard Murphy. Would you like to just remind people of that?
Richard Murphy is a retired accountant who, simply by virtue of claiming to be an expert on taxation, is now regarded by certain people as an expert on taxation. He's also regarded by some people now as an economist, which I think is a somewhat fanciful description.
We've got a rough idea of your policies and where you'd like to see changes, but how are you going to do that as an individual MHK?
One person certainly cannot make these changes. What we need is a number of change candidates in the Keys. An individual can raise the issues, an individual can provoke debate, but it will take a certain level of consensus. People in the Keys will have to wake up to the problems we're facing, and we will have to take collective action.
Do you do that as a critic of the Council of Ministers or as part of?
I think what I would want to be is a critical friend. One has to, I think, stand apart. One has to have a degree of independence. But what I don't want to be is a member of perma opposition. I think possibly this is where Liberal Vannin have gone wrong. They're a party of permanent opposition. I would want to be more of a critical friend to government.
And you personally, why are you standing? What are you going to get out of this?
Hopefully it's going to be good fun. Meeting people on the doorstep has been great fun. There's a different story behind every door. It will be a challenge if I get in. It will also be a great deal of hard work because there are a number of difficult decisions that need to be taken and people don't seem to be willing or able to take them.
And will you still have time for, as you list in your hobbies and interests, underground rock music and fine dining?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one can't do politics 24/7. It would be terribly boring.
Richard Falk, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you. And a list of the other candidates I have somewhere here. And we need to do that, of course. The other candidates for that by-election in North Douglas on Thursday the 12th of November are Claire Betterson, Kurt Buchholz, John Jockin, John McBride, Geraldine O'Neill and Kat Turner.